our Bibles, please, to the book of Exodus chapter 12. We spoke from this portion this morning as we were thinking about being sheltered under the blood. And this afternoon, as I was thinking about the message I would share with you tonight, I thought, now these two need to be connected. And so tonight will be a devotional study, but we need our Bibles because we're going to look at several portions of Scripture. But in thinking of being under the Lord's wings, let me connect what we considered this morning with the message tonight. Look at Exodus chapter 12, and let's pick up at verse 21. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. Kill the Passover. Now here is a noun, the Passover. And we note it from 1 Corinthians 5 and 7, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The Jews use this word here, this noun, Pesach. If you hear a Jew speak of Pesach, you know that he's speaking of Passover. Look down at verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. So here is the verb in verse 23, but the word here is Pesach. Pesach. If you were writing it out, you might put P-O-W. S-A-K-H, Pesach. Pesach is the noun. Pesach is the verb. And so I take time to point this out to you. Because if you were to take a concordance or the Old Testament word study book, and look up this word, Pesach, you will find it several other times in the Old Testament. Let me refer to some. And I checked with the theological workbook of the Old Testament on this. In 2 Samuel chapter 4, you remember reading and hearing about Mephibosheth, who was lame on both his feet. He was lame. Pesach. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, you remember Elijah gave the challenge to the prophets of Baal and to the people in general. And he said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long halt, Pesach, between two opinions? And remember, these prophets of Baal, when they accepted the challenge by Elijah, or from Elijah, to build this altar and call upon their gods to consume the sacrifice, you remember they leaped upon the altar. They leaped, Pesach. But I'm thinking of Isaiah chapter 31. You might want to look at that. Isaiah 31 and verse 5. Now, I'm going to pass a lot of Scripture by you tonight, but I want to connect these two. Isaiah 31 and verse 5. As birds flying so will the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem, defending also he will deliver it, and passing over he will preserve it. And passing over, here's our word, Pasach. Passing over. Now the thought in all of this is hovering over. And maybe you have heard that thought expressed in connection with Passover. The Lord said that when he sees the blood, he will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to take the firstborn. He's going to hover over that place or those people who are covered by the blood. So the thought is, Pasach, he's going to hover over. He's going to protect. Now, so far as Isaiah 31 and 5, I looked it up in the New English Bible. Thus the Lord of hosts, like a bird hovering over its young, will be a shield over Jerusalem. Will be a shield over Jerusalem. Hovering over. The New Scofield Bible has it like birds flying about. So the Lord of hosts defend Jerusalem. The American Standard Version has it as birds hovering, so will Jehovah of hosts protect Jerusalem. So, in thinking of Pasach, in thinking of Passover, we also think of Pasach, the verb. And we think of the people who applied the blood being sheltered by God. Now, we were singing, "Under His wings I will abide." You know, that is the place to be, under the wings of the Lord. Now, let me go further in stretching your mind. You might remember from a previous study, I think we were thinking of propitiation. But we noted from Exodus 25, verse 21, 22, verses 21 and 22, Exodus 29, verses 42, 43, Exodus chapter 30, Leviticus chapter 16. In thinking of the mercy seat, you remember how that mercy seat was constructed? You might say, well, yes, it was overlaid with gold. And above the mercy seat, there were cherubim, two cherubs. How were they situated? Well, you would say one on one side, one on the other. They're looking downward upon the mercy seat, but their wings overspread the mercy seat. Now, here's our connecting thought. Under those wings. God said concerning that mercy seat in these verses that I referred to, along with some others, God had said, I will meet with you there. That mercy seat was the meeting place. When we come to the New Testament, and we considered, I believe, the six times that word propitiation is found, at least once it's rendered as mercy seat, because it speaks of Christ, who is the meeting place between us and God, but He's the means of our meeting. It's on the basis of shed blood. And when we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are able to enter into the presence of God with boldness, with full confidence, knowing that we are accepted in the Beloved, but we are covered, we are protected, we are sheltered, we are shielded by the wings of God, if you please, under His wings. So let's think further of that tonight. The Lord Jesus, I believe this is Matthew 23, verse 11, the Lord Jesus wept over Jerusalem. And he said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I would have gathered thee, as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, but ye would not." God sent to them the prophets. They killed the prophets. They stoned them. And the Lord Jesus, in weeping over Jerusalem, said, and the Lord uses this figure, this illustration. But it goes beyond just a hen and her chickens. But the Lord Jesus used that so that they could understand. Just as a hen would gather her chickens under her wings, I would have gathered your children under my wings, but ye would not. Under the wings of God. Let's go to Psalm 57 and verse 1, please. 57 and verse 1. You will see from the little caption above the psalm that this was written by David when he fled from Saul in the cave. David wrote, "Be merciful unto me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee, yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed." Here is another one of these psalms wrung from the soul of David in the dark days when he was fleeing from King Saul. We cannot be sure of the exact occasion of this psalm. We know that David was in the cave of Adullam. He was also later in the cave at En Gedi, right down by the Dead Sea. It was at the cave of En Gedi, you might remember, that he cut off a portion of the robe of Saul while he was asleep to let him know that he could have killed him, but he would not bring harm to God's anointed. But whether it was in the cave of Adullam or later in the cave of En Gedi, we cannot be sure, but still, David was fleeing from Saul. And in fleeing from Saul, he found refuge in this cave. But above and beyond the cave, he found refuge under the wings of the Almighty. Now, whether David was thinking of Isaiah 31 and 5, as birds hovering over Jerusalem, God will protect it, whether he was thinking of Exodus chapter 12 and God himself hovering over those who were identified with the Lamb and the blood of the Lamb, God hovering over them so the destroyer would not take the firstborn. Whether David was thinking of that, he found shelter under the Lord's wings. So I put down shelter under His wings. We have fled to Christ for refuge, those of us who are saved. We have fled to Christ for refuge. That is, we met with God at the meeting place, our Lord Jesus Christ, the mercy seat. And we met with God on the basis of the shed blood of Christ. And we are made to realize, just as the wings of the cherubim came over that mercy seat, even so we have the wings of God over us, protecting us under the shadow of the Almighty. Shelter under His wings. Let's go back to the book of Ruth, please. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. The book of Ruth, chapter 2. You will remember, perhaps, that Elimelech, Naomi, and their two sons, Marlon and Chilion, lived at Bethlehem, Beit Lehem, the house of bread. But there was a famine. There was no bread. What a contradiction. Living in the house of bread where there is no bread. It was because of the sins of the people. But there was famine. And so Elimelech decided that the family would go to Moab, of all places, on the eastern side of the Jordan River, in what we know today as the land of Jordan or the country of Jordan. But Elimelech, Naomi, and the boys went to Moab. And in living there, the two sons took wives of the Moabites. And in due time, Elimelech died. I think you know the story. And then later, the two sons died, leaving three widows. And Naomi decided she was going to go back to Bethlehem. The famine was over. She was hearing good news concerning Bethlehem. She decided that she was going to go back to the house of bread. And so she returned. Orpah, one of the daughters-in-law, decided that she was going to stay in her country. But Ruth decided that she was going to go with Naomi. And it's a very touching story. Ruth said to Naomi, Naomi wanted her to stay. No, she said, I'm going with you. Your people will be my people. Your God shall be my God. And where thou dwellest, will I dwell. And so the two women, Naomi and Ruth, came to Bethlehem. When we come to chapter 2, Ruth was instructed to go into the fields of Boaz. And look at verse chapter 2 and come down to verse 11. Let's pick up at verse 11. Boaz, this wealthy man, noticed this beautiful young woman working in his fields. He inquired about her, learned something about her. And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath fully been showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Ruth became a believer using New Testament terminology. She was saved. She trusted in the Lord. And she came to trust under the wings of the Almighty. I put down satisfaction under His wings. Come to Ruth chapter 3. And here again, Ruth was instructed to go back to the fields of Boaz at nighttime. It was harvest time, and the men would stay in the fields. They would sleep in the fields. And let's pick up at verse 6 of chapter 3. And she went down unto the floor, that is the threshing floor, and did according to all that her mother-in-law bade her. And when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet, and laid her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid, and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, Who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. You know, we read that, and we think to ourselves, that doesn't sound very ladylike. That sounds rather risque. She goes out and she lies down at his feet. And then when he awakens, she says, Now spread your skirt over me. That doesn't sound ladylike, but it's very precious. It is very precious. The reason I say that, Boaz had said to her in chapter 2, The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Now that word skirt in chapter 3 and verse 9, when she said, Spread now your skirt over me, it's the same word. It's the same word rendered wings in chapter 2. What was Ruth saying to Boaz? She was appealing to him to be her redeemer. He was a near kinsman. You know the story. There was a nearer kinsman than Boaz, but he refused to be redeemer to Ruth. But Boaz became her redeemer. And thus, Ruth was brought into the genealogy of Christ. She became, let's see, is it the great, help me out here now, is it the great grandmother of David? Is that correct? I think so. The great grandmother of David. Now, Deuteronomy 23 had said, No Moabite shall enter into the congregation of the Lord to the tenth generation. No Moabite. Here is Ruth the Moabitess. And she enters into the congregation of the Lord. She's sheltered under the Lord's wings. Now she's appealing to Boaz to be her redeemer. And she is saying, in essence, Boaz, you're correct. I have come to rest and trust under the wings of the Lord God of Israel. I find my satisfaction under His wings. Now I am appealing to you to spread your wing over me. See, in thinking of this skirt, this word skirt here, think of the long flowing robes that the people of that day wore, and some still do. Some still do. These long flowing robes. And if a person were to lift their arms like this, there would be a lot of loose material up under the arms. That was spoken of as the skirt or the wings. So it is a very precious picture here. She is saying, Boaz, I have come to find my satisfaction under the wings of the Lord God. Now I am appealing to you to spread your wings over me and be my redeemer. And he did so. And she found satisfaction under the wings of Boaz as well. So I put down shelter under his wings and satisfaction under his wings. I put down here Psalm 36 and verse 7. You need not turn to it. I'll read it to you. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God! Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. Shelter under his wings. Satisfaction under his wings. We sometimes sing, He satisfies. Joy he supplies. Life would be worthless without him. All things in Jesus I find. It's good to be under the shelter of His wings, isn't it? And how delightful to find satisfaction under His wings as well. Well, let's go to Psalm 63, please. Psalm 63. Down to verse 7. Because Thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of Thy wings will I rejoice. And you need to read the whole psalm. You will see at the caption above, he was in the wilderness of Judah. And when he couldn't sleep, verse 6, he said, when I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. David was not one to toss and turn upon his bed, fretting over things that were beyond his control, as we sometimes do, as I sometimes do. When insomnia drove sleep from his eyes, he had but one sure remedy. Instead of brooding over his troubles, he would turn to the Lord and think about God and think about being under His wings. Who was it said that when you can't sleep, instead of counting sheep, talk to the shepherd? Well, I like that. That's what David did. He would think about God. He would think of the fledging bird that found warmth and comfort, rest and strength beneath its mother's wings. He would think what wide, wonderful wings God spread over him. Doubtless thinking again of the ark with the cherubim, looking down upon the mercy seat with the overshadowing wings. When David had seen that ark, it was when the priest bore it back over the brow of the hill toward Jerusalem. And maybe that sun was shining on that ark of the covenant, on those outspread wings. Maybe that was the case. At any rate, he was thinking of being under the wings of the Almighty. He was thinking about the throne of grace. And it's wonderful to be able to say the Lord is our helper and strength. And so this is the reason I put down strength under His wings. Shelter under His wings. Satisfaction under His wings. Strength under His wings. Well, let's go to one more. Let's turn to Psalm 91. Please. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. There have been a few times when visiting people in the hospital, particularly when they're about to go into surgery, I will say to them, now I want to give you one word to think about. I mean, here they've been sedated somewhat and they can't take in a whole lot oftentimes in that condition. But I will say to them, now I want you to think of one word. What is that? I want you to think about feathers. I remember one sister said to me, feathers? I said, yeah, I want you to think about feathers. Now, as you go into that operating room and as you go into slumber, I want you to think about feathers. She later told me, she said, I was thinking about feathers. But she said, feathers. And I read these verses. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He hovers over us. He protects us. Now, the Lord Jesus, when he wept over Jerusalem and said, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her chickens under her wings, but ye would not. Of course, the Lord Jesus was thinking far more than simply a hen covering her chickens. And by the way, the psalmist is not thinking of a hen and chickens under her wings in writing these words. Note what we read. He that dwelleth in the secret place. That would take us to the Ark of the Covenant. That would take us to that mercy seat. That would take us to the overspread wings of the cherubim in the secret place. And so I put down here security under his wings. Now, in these four verses that we read, I want you to note that the psalmist used four names for God. You will see one there, the Most High. The Most High. It is Elyon, the Most High. And the thought connected with that name is that of possession. The Most High God, he is possessor of heaven and earth. That is the thought that's connected with that name, Elyon, rendered the Most High. He owns everything. And the thought is that of possession. And this is the hiding place for us because he provides for us whatever we need. He is possessor of heaven and earth. But the psalmist also used the word, it's in verse 1, the Almighty. The Almighty. That's the word Shaddai. You've heard the title or the compounded name El Shaddai. Well, that word Shaddai means, it means the breasted one, actually. We think of a mother supplying to the child what it needs for food, strength, nourishment. And so the thought is provision. El Shaddai, he provides for us in every way. So the psalmist uses the title, the Almighty, or Shaddai. It's one thing to know that God owns everything, but what does that mean to me? I heard about the man reading the news, but this was years ago when the father DuPont at that time died. He was one of the wealthiest men in the world. And the man was sitting on a curb reading the newspaper about the death of DuPont. And he was crying. And a friend came along and said, what's the matter with you? Why are you crying? And he said, haven't you read the news? Haven't you heard the news? DuPont died, leaving all of his wealth. Well, he said, what is that to you? I mean, he didn't leave you anything. He said, that's the reason I'm crying. You know what a difference it would make if you read about the death of a wealthy person and says, well, he left everything. But now suppose the words were added on to that. He left everything to you. Oh, my, what a difference that would make. So it's one thing to know that God owns everything, but what does that mean to me? The Almighty has promised to meet our needs. Not our wants. Sometimes He does that too. But He's promised to meet our needs. What was it Paul said in Philippians 4:19? But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I think it was August Van Ryn some years ago when I heard him speak, said, now, you know, a very wealthy man might give to a beggar on the street a dollar. He would be giving out of his wealth, but he would not be giving according to his wealth. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. So the psalmist uses the name the Most High, possession, the Almighty, provision. But note also, he uses the word Jehovah, that is the Lord, all capital letters. And that is the personal name for God. You'll see it in verse 2. I will say of the Lord. That is his personal name, Yahweh. We know it as Jehovah. And the thought connected with that name is that of promise. He is the one true and living God. He is the unchangeable one. He is the God in covenant relation with his own. And God is a God of promise. He keeps his word. God cannot lie. So the psalmist uses that title, the Lord, promise. But now, look back at the psalm, and he uses in verse 2, my God, my God. And we have pointed out that when you see the word God, capital G, small o, d, in most instances, it is the word Elohim. It's in the plural. Elohim. Not in every case when it's spelled that way is it Elohim, but in most cases it is. Sometimes it's in the singular, Eloah, or simply EL, which is the abbreviated form of the singular. But God, my God. And Elohim speaks of God the Creator. In the beginning, God, Elohim, created the heavens and the earth. And the thought connected with this title is that of power. Elohim occurs something like 2,700 times in the Old Testament, and its first occurrence is in connection with creation. Thus, Elohim is the God as creator, and the thought behind that is that of power. Well, now this is the one whose security we should have. And that's what I put down under this one. Security under his wings. Shelter under his wings. Satisfaction under his wings. Strength under his wings. And security under his wings. What a fortress. What a hiding place. What a place of refuge. A place of possession, provision, promise, and power. Isn't it wonderful to be under the shadow of the Almighty, under His wings? I should say. Well, meditate upon this, and you think about being sheltered under His blood as pictured in the Passover. Think of that word, pasach, being shielded by God. We have His protection. But think of these other blessed truths connected with being under His wings as well. Possession, provision, promise, and power. Well, thank you once again for having me today. You know, you're having me so often, regularly, that I'm going to wear out my welcome here. I hope not. But thank you for having us, for having me in. Please pray for us as we come to your mind. Father, we do thank Thee for our high and holy position of being in Christ, who is our refuge. How wonderful to be under the shadow of the Almighty, covered with Thy feathers as such. Lord, we have difficulty in fully comprehending these precious truths, but these different illustrations are used to give us better understanding of what it means to be in thy presence and to be sheltered by thee, as well as having all of our needs met, being provided for. How wonderful to be in the care and keeping of Almighty God. Lord, may these thoughts be uppermost in our minds as we go into this a new week. Once again, we pray that we might equate all that we are and do to our wonderful Lord and Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, for His name's sake. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you. And by the way, I finished right on time tonight. Give me a gold star, will you?